You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day.
Man, I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys are going plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jays.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Raining Jays. Today, it's me, your boy Jay King from The Athletic, here with Sam Jam Packard, the great formerly of WEEI. We want to first thank you for making us part of your daily routine. We are the only Monday through Friday Celtics podcast and the greatest Celtics podcast ever. So just wanted to thank you all for listening to us and for sharing this Celtics journey with us. Today we've got a few topics as usual. One, Brian Robb of the Boston Sports Journal spoke to Terry Rozier, who had some interesting comments on the possibility of a contract extension, which he would need to sign before the regular season begins. I think the deadline is October 15th at 6 p.m. So we'll get to that. We've got Kyrie Irving, who said some interesting things about Cleveland and LeBron James. And then Sam Jam, Packard the Great, deserves his own segment because he's a skeptic right now. He's got some doubts. He's got some concerns. He's got some issues, and so we're going to let him take over for segment three and share some of those. First, let's start with the Terry Rozier comments, which I thought were pretty interesting. The thing that stood out to me from what Rozier told the Boston Sports Journal is that when, you know, Kyrie Irving has committed to the Celtics long term, at least verbally, that leaves Rozier on the bench probably for forever, for at least the next several years. And he said, that's something I'm really going to have to sit down and think about. That's not something that's on my mind now. Obviously, who wouldn't want to play 30 minutes for a winning team? It's hard to turn that down. Like I said, every situation has got to be right for me. This is my life. This is more than basketball. People upstairs make their business moves. I'm going to make my business moves. That was a boss line, by the way. People upstairs make their business moves. I'm going to make my business move. But I do think this is going to be a storyline. And Rozier knows he's a starting caliber point guard. He played like a starting caliber point guard in the playoffs. And now he's not going to be a starter anymore. And obviously he's going to try to make it work this year. The Celtics are going to try to make it work this year. But long term, does he want to do that? One. Two, do the Celtics want to pay him and Marcus Smart on the bench? So there are just a lot of questions about the backcourt.
How many minutes a game did he say he'd be willing to play on a winning team? 30?
Yeah, 30. 30 minutes.
That's a bit ambitious. I mean, I just, like, even if he came back, do you see Terry Rozier approaching 30 minutes a game this year?
No, probably not. And, like, even if in a weird world, the starters only play 30 minutes per game, I think they'll play more. Like, there really aren't too many minutes for Morris, Smart, Rozier, and Baines, who all deserve legitimate playing time. So Brad's going to have a lot to figure out. He's got a lot of quality basketball players to play. It's a good problem, but it is a problem. And the Rozier thing, I just don't think that is going away. I think he's one of the most fascinating guys in the league this year just because his situation, the dynamic is so interesting to me. And after what he did last year, it's not very often you have a young guy who performs like that and then comes back the next year and knows for a fact he's not going to start. and is and is at the same time in a contract year. And so there's just a lot going on right now.
Yeah, he's trying to prove himself, and he wants to get as much money as possible.
If I'm your voice is still wild.
Yo, is it the crazy? Okay, this is the same computer that it was wild on last time, so it's got to be something crazy about that. But I'll just lean into the craziness of this voice moving forward. Then
you almost sound like that scene in Old School where he's like, "You're crazy, man.
You're crazy, Jay King. You're crazy if you think Terry Rozier is going to get an extension before the October deadline, because there's just no way unless he gets a bunch of money up front and like." What's the incentive for him to sign a deal before hitting free agency? He's going to get way more money, presumably from a team looking for a starting point guard in free agency. I just don't see him looking to, if I'm his agent, why would I sign a deal now? He'd either have to get a bunch of money up front, which I don't see the Celtics doing because they have to re-sign Kyrie, or promised a role where he gets somewhere like 30 minutes a game, and I just also don't see the Celtics doing that. So his situation is definitely interesting, but I can't envision a world where the extension is going to be signed. It's interesting that he said he was kind of open to it, and I think he's more likely to re-sign if the Celtics make a finals run this year. But I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Now I'm not on the John Corrales train where I think he's going to get traded to the Suns for an unprotected first, but. I don't know. It's interesting, his comments, but there's no way they sign an extension before the season starts.
I would be really surprised if he signs an extension before the season starts, because what's the risk of letting him go to free agency? They'll still have him as a restricted free agent. I don't think there's much benefit to him, certainly, to sign a market level or below deal that they'd be wanting to give him at this point. The one thing, like you said, he'll sign probably sign a much bigger contract next year. Restricted free agency is always weird, and especially there are a lot of quality point guards. There aren't a lot of teams that need point guards, so you're going to need a team that, one, needs a point guard, two, has cap space to pay a point guard. So it's not the easiest thing to find, but I mean, we saw it with Marcus Smart. He just didn't have options. There just wasn't an option out there for him. And you can say Terry Rozier is a much better shooter. Terry Rozier has higher upside because of that, whatever you want to say. But the restricted free agent market's weird. I don't know what Terry Rozier will ultimately sign, but I would definitely be surprised if he comes back on an extension.
What number do you think he comes back at? What do you think his range is? Because it feels like he's a $15 million a year player.
I have no idea. I don't know what the Celtics intend to do there. Obviously, that backcourt, the backup backcourt, Smart's already making 12 and a half a year or whatever it is. And Rozier, what's he going to make? Are you going to want to keep both those guys long term once the luxury tax bills are going to get insane when Kyrie signs his new contract, assuming he does
Kyrie's making, what, 35 mil next year, presumably he signs the max?
Yeah, he's making a lot. I forget the exact number.
Is it worth it if you're the Celtics? Kyrie and Terry, they bring a lot of the same types of things, just in terms of scoring, ball handling. Do you want to pay upwards of $45 to $50 million? I don't know what. That's more than a third of your salary cap just to two guys who do very similar things. They're both quite talented, but is that how much you want to allocate your money? On the same thing, do you want to pay upwards of $20 million to Smart and Rozier to come off the bench? I just don't know if it makes sense financially for the Celtics to give all that money to guys who kind of do similar things. So, and that's the question I was thinking when I was listening to you and John talk about the trade last night. He's like, I don't think they're going to mess with the current roster, because I think Terry Rozier will have a positive impact on them winning. It's just long-term for the amount of money that those three guys make. It makes very little sense to me to pay all of them. And so I feel like this is the 19,000th time we've talked about those three guys. But I think Terry Rozier, especially if I'm his agent, I'm going to want him to get as much money as possible. And I don't know if that's coming from the Celtics.
Yeah. And the one other part of the interview with B-Rob that was interesting, that Kyrie said he told the core guys, or some of the core guys at least, and Terry Rozier was not among the players he told. He didn't know anything about it until Kyrie announced it on the Jumbotron at TD Garden Fan Fest. So I don't think that's anything to read into. I think Kyrie just told a small group of guys that included Gordon Hayward and Al Horford. I don't think it's much, but it's just something to note. I thought it was interesting. That's all.
On the other side of the coin, you had a SB Nation article today about Kyrie Irving's leadership, and it was a bunch of Terry Rozier quotes about how he's like just a great person. He's genuine. He's just a caring, wonderful guy. He allowed me to have any like shoe in his closet. So who knows what's going on there?
And that's a big deal.
Pure speculation.
That's a big deal. Allowing people to have whatever shoe in your closet you want. That's a big deal. I ain't letting anybody borrow my shoes.
No one wants your bum ass shoes.
I got some beautiful shoes.
I have never seen you in a pair of shoes that were cool. Or I've noticed. You've had some cool hoodies. There's definitely a cool wire hoodie you own that I would like, but never have I been like, damn, Jay's got some fire kicks on right now.
I'm hurt.
Mostly because I don't talk like that.
I'm hurt. All right, we'll move on. Kyrie was asked about a bunch of things today at practice. One exchange that I thought was really notable, he was asked about LeBron, and the reporter said, you were kind of LeBron's lieutenant. And I was like, oh, God, Kyrie is about to snap. Kyrie does not like this. He is about to swat away this question. He is about to make a disgusted look. He is about to just shut down. And Kyrie surprised me. Kyrie instead just went with it. And that just really, he shocked the hell out of me. Because last year, honestly, if he was asked about being LeBron's lieutenant, Kyrie would have gotten salty. He would have come out there and said, probably just wanted verbal, not verbally, he would have, with his body language, slapped the guy. Like
just, a lot of side eye. He would have immediately thrown out side eye.
Yeah. And instead, he said that, you know, he learned a lot from LeBron and gave a lot of credit to him. Didn't even dispute the lieutenant thing and went on to say he wasn't the face of the franchise in Cleveland. They made that very clear, but also said he didn't deserve to be the face of the franchise at that point in time. So these were like different Kyrie comments than he's had in the past. And I don't know what to attribute that to. Maybe it's just he's happier now and he's in a better place and the LeBron questions aren't going to faze him anymore. He's not going to get, you know, upset about them anymore. He's just going to answer the fact that, yeah, I learned a lot from LeBron and I still wanted to get out of Cleveland, but, you know, I did learn a lot from that guy and we had a good thing while it lasted and I just didn't want to continue it because I wasn't happy. So it's just, I don't know what there is to note about that, but it's just a totally different Kyrie. Kyrie is different this year.
That seems like the biggest thing about how uncomfortable he was last year, and just like he mentioned at media day how he was scared to talk to the media because he didn't know what questions were going to be asked, and it seems like he was just on edge for the entirety of last season, and now he seems a lot happier. The other thing I noticed, like being someone's lieutenant, is a lot different than being like saying that LeBron is his father or like the other types of questions that he got asked like that. Like lieutenant is still you still have rank. You're still an important part of the team. It feels like he acknowledges that LeBron's the best player in the game. And it would be like, they're not both generals to continue on with this loose army metaphor. It just seems like he's much more willing to engage this year. And maybe that's because of happiness, but you're right. I was surprised to see those comments too, just because last year any LeBron or any Cavaliers talk immediately got shut down.
Yeah, like things got awkward when LeBron questions came to Kyrie. It was like it was painful, almost painful to watch, painful to be a part of. It wasn't like as soon as LeBron questions were asked, the guys who were there every day would be like, ooh, this isn't going to go well. And today it was kind of like that. I was like, uh-oh, what's coming now? And then Kyrie just went with it, and we were all shocked. And but he definitely, so he seems new. He seems like a different guy, a more laid-back guy, at least when it comes to the LeBron-Cleveland storyline. He's not worried about that anymore. It's something.
Does this open up a world of new questions you want to ask Kyrie that you thought were previously off limits?
No, because you never know when he's gonna slap you with his eye language. But the other thing Kyrie said in his media availability that I thought was kind of interesting, he kind of suggested the Celtics have been lazy against switches. And he said, obviously, they want us to take tough twos to try to beat them one-on-one. You can live with those possessions in the NBA. Guys going one-on-one. Like, this is Kyrie Irving. Like, the greatest one-on-one player in the game. One of the top five, at least. And he's like, we don't want to take tough twos. We don't want to go one-on-one. Like, we don't want to go stagnant. The game doesn't become fun when you're stagnant. It's like, cool. Kyrie is all in on the team basketball. And he very much wants to be part of a system. Doesn't want to play one on one anymore. Even though I'm sure sometimes he'll devolve into that like he does sometimes. But he said you have to find that balance of being aggressive and you can't be lazy. So
he should tell that to Jason Tatum, who in the preseason was king of the one on one long two. And maybe he's just very good at listening to what Brad is telling them, because Brad is probably calling them lazy on switches. But that serves as a good transition to what I wanted to talk about, which is should we be concerned?
Hold on, can I just butt in here?
Yes, you just did.
You just went from what I wanted to talk about, and you used what I wanted to talk about just to transition. You were like, screw what you want to talk about. That's just a way to transition to what I want to talk about. So masterfully done there.
Oh, thank you. I'm quite good at this. Well, do you have anything more on Kyrie talking?
No, I got nothing.
About that?
I got nothing.
Oh, so I was right to transition to what I wanted to talk about then.
In your beautiful voice, yes.
Oh, thank you. but the Celtics sucked in preseason. Is that concerning? They did not play well. They played like a decent game against Charlotte, but otherwise they were not good I think on the offensive end, except for like a couple stretches, and then on the defensive end, they weren't great. There's a lot of hype coming into this year. Should Celtics fans be at all concerned about the Celtics not kind of gelling or having too many, or just thinking that they're going to be great already? Because after watching four preseason games, David, the erotic city has not been there.
I want to hear if you're concerned. This section was about your concerns.
I mean, I a little bit, man. A little bit. They haven't looked well. I know the talent is there. But last year in the preseason, we saw greatness. Their games against Charlotte, they opened the second half and had like nine possessions in a row where the team scored. The ball movement was there. There was a lot of good things to pull out of the preseason. And this year it just hasn't been there, and it seems like an effort type thing, which is easily correctable. But the game I was at in Boston against the Cavs, they just didn't seem to really care, and that's not great. Maybe you think there's too much hype there. The other thing that I have a concern about is the Celtics had the league's best defense last year, and actually that got corrected this year since they updated however they keep the possession stat on NBA.com, and they only had the second best defense last year.
Ooh.
But a lot of that was with Aaron Baynes in the game. If you look at their defensive ratings, and like four out of the five lineups with the best defensive rating had Aaron Baynes, I guess my concern is like, can they match the defense by going smaller and having Al Horford at the five? Is Al Horford more valuable defensively as a four, and do they need more rim protection? And so, I mean, I'm less concerned about the offense. I think they're going to have they just have too much talent on offense and too many good individual scorers. But I think my question is the defense going to be there? They're still going to play. I mean, I don't think Aaron Baynes is going to like take that much of a hit in terms of minutes. So he's still going to get a fair number of opportunities. But will the defense be there? And how does it change when they go smaller?
Yeah.
Oh, and shouts to Christian Vasquez, just hit a dinger.
Ooh, shout out to Christian Vasquez indeed. I didn't have the game on, but that's great news. I think there's legitimate concern about the defense slipping from the top perch or number two now since NBA.com is updated. I think when you go smaller, that's the obvious concern. I also think Gordon Hayward's a really good defender. Brad Stevens will be able to play so many versatile lineups. I think the playoffs showed the Celtics can be really stingy even when they go smaller. In the playoffs, their lineups without Baines were actually better defensively than lineups with him. So, but you have to have that mindset, and they'll have to overcome the fact that they're not going to be the biggest team and that they're going to have sometimes Jaylen Brown guarding Kevin Love like they did against Cleveland. And it's going to be weird matchups. They're going to be giving up size up front all the time. And I'll be surprised if their defense doesn't slip from number two to somewhere lower, whether it's top five, top 10, whatever. I'm sure they're looking to have a top five defense again. But I think the offensive changes more than counteract that. And well, I mean, when you put Gordon Hayward out there for Aaron Baines, you just have so many more opportunities, so many more possibilities, so many more 3-point attempts, I think, so many more open looks that guys have created. So he's going to draw so much more defensive attention than Baines ever did. So,
but that's what you would think. Like, how do you explain the shittiness that was those four preseason games?
Well, part of it was just missing shots. Part of it was they were lazy and settled for mid-range jumpers. I think Brad will beat that out of them. I think the other part, like, they played four games within the first 9 or 10 days of training camp. Like, it was obscene how quickly they played all those games and how little practice time they had before they finished four preseason games. So I don't think there's real room to be concerned yet. Even when they played their guy, and Kyrie missed two games, and Hayward missed one, and Horford missed one, so they haven't really been whole yet. It makes no sense to be actually concerned now, I think. Even though some of the things you could potentially be concerned about kind of showed up,
like the effort thing. Like last year, Gordon Hayward gets hurt in the first 6 minutes, and they immediately have adversity. They immediately can play the card. Nobody believes in us. Like we're gonna have to work harder because we've had this setback. This year, they have no adversity, and it's like, it's shown in the motivation. It just doesn't seem like they were trying. Like that being said, the points about Kyrie not playing, Hayward and Horford not playing some games are apt ones. They're good. It's just you would still think that they shouldn't get blown out by the Cavaliers with the same team they played in the Eastern Conference Finals last year, and the Cavs don't have LeBron James. Like it was just it. I don't know. Like what is it going to take? Is the regular season? Is it the games finally mattering? Going to be like enough to for them to flip the switch, because at this point it just hasn't been good effort, and that was like the biggest concern I think for most Celtics fans heading into the season, is like, are they going to be complacent? And so far, I know the preseason doesn't count, but like it feels like that's what we saw.
How do you get complacent when you won nothing?
Because expectations, everyone expects you to be great, so you just think you have to show up and it will happen, but you don't put the work in. Like, you don't try. Like, you can't tell me that those players were going balls to the wall in any of those preseason games.
No, they
maybe,
certainly
maybe
weren't.
Maybe they shouldn't, because it's the preseason. You don't want to get hurt. But, like, you got to practice the right things in order to get better at them. Like, and they said all the right things after the practices of those games. And, like, oh, we had really hard practice. We're finally getting, like, coming together on defense. You don't practice defense in the off season. But, I don't know. It's just – it feels weird. To see that, especially compared to the preseason last year when they did look so connected and so like everything was working for them.
I was just going to say, I will say the tenor of this preseason is totally changed. Brad last year by the fourth preseason game was just like, or maybe even the third, just like, oh, I'm going to sit my All-Stars. Like, don't even worry about it. Like, and then they had just weeks before just decided on a whim, like, we need to go to Newport. We need to have training camp in Newport. They decided right before that it actually happened. Yo, what are you doing, bro?
Nothing, B.
What are you doing over there? You riding a damn helicopter or something? Let me live. Let me speak.
Yo, you got the most sensitive ears in the league, kid.
That was loud. So the tenor of last year he was really excited, I think, by their progress throughout preseason. This year he's like, we suck. We suck, we suck, and we suck. So, but I also think there's different circumstances. Like, they literally had 2 days of practice before their first preseason game. And then they had another game 2 nights later and a third game shortly after that. Like, they haven't had time to actually go hit the practice court and iron out the things, the habits that they need to build back after a summer away. So I don't think there's much concern. It's preseason, bruh. This is preseason, bruh.
Other than Brad saying that they suck, does there seem to be any level of urgency or concern among, like, the Celtics players? Or are they all basically saying what you just said? It's preseason, bruh.
Basically, it's preseason, bruh. I mean, they all admitted, like, Brad has a point. The Celtics have sucked. But they also were kind of at the same point, like, it's preseason, bruh. And it's weird because everyone says the practices have been really intense. And then the games have just been slop fests. So maybe they just need to play each other. And then they're good.
It kind of feels like they need to be smacked in the mouth, like, just to kind of wake up. Because, like, maybe get blown out by the Sixers by 20 points on opening night. I don't know. It feels like they're going to be – that there's going to be a lot of energy in that game. I'd be shocked if they didn't show up. But I don't know. A team, like, you need to be able to go through some adversity to kind of – like, it feels like Brad's teams always outperform expectations. And this year, their expectations are basically finals or bust. And so it's hard to outperform those. I don't think it's a reflection of Brad. He never gets too high, never gets too low, but maybe this is the opposite end of the spectrum where he can get people to kind of believe that they're better than they are. But if they're already believe they're quite good, maybe he's not as great as kind of being mean to them. He's not a mean guy. Maybe he's not a disciplinarian enough.
I think he can be mean. I think he can be plenty of mean. I just don't think you see him as a mean guy, but he can be harsh to the Celtics behind closed doors. And I imagine he has been harsh to them, telling them what they need to do, what they haven't done, and what they should do the rest of this practice preparation for the Philadelphia 76ers opening night. 1 week away from tonight while we're recording this, 6 days away from tomorrow morning, aka when you guys are listening to this. That was not great podcasting. I've got to work on my usage of knowing when the listeners will be listening to this, but it's okay because we are the greatest podcast, Celtics podcast, ever created. If you don't subscribe to us already, you're stupid, but search for us wherever you get your podcast. Search for Locked On Celtics, Spotify, iTunes, wherever else. We are the only Monday through Friday Celtics podcast. We are the greatest Celtics podcast ever created. And we are done with this episode. Thank you for listening in to the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, Jay King and John Corrales, Locked On Celtics.